worthy of this exactly, but in the parshas right now of the Avos learning specifically about Avram Avinu, and those are those who set the path. They were the trailblazers to set in motion major events and the teachers. Special characteristics, special traits that we can learn through the parshios about the greatness of the Avos and how they reacted to the situation, and that hopefully can impact us as we look towards them to apply that to ourselves. One of the ideas of myself through the Rambam is to look to those who are much higher, much loftier, much greater, and be able to take something from that and apply it to ourselves on our own individual level. I feel that's basically the situation I'm in right now, which is it's a tremendous chus to be able to introduce such a great Talmud Chacham, a great leader, a Rosh Yeshiva, where Baruch Hashem we have many Talmidim, Baruch Hashem we're being Matzliach, having Matzliach in the past and continuing Matzliach in the Yeshiva in Landers, and the little over the years, Baruch Hashem I've been Zoche to get to know Sachs, but Baruch Hashem, we were able to host him, the Rebbe, last year in our house. It is tremendous anava, and also the wealth of Torah in such a wonderful, sweet, matuk, arev, fashion. Something that's very, very unique, and something that I think all you guys will appreciate, get to appreciate, Mitzvah Hashem, over the course of this year. The Rebbe is here now giving a shir, but later in the year, Mitzvah Hashem will be zocht to a full Shabbos. We'll really be able to enjoy Mamash Mitzvah Hashem, which is zocht, as the Schor Zman continues to have the appreciation and the enjoyment of the Rebbe's Torah. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay. Really, thank you very much. The warm introduction is just very meaningful. I feel very, very much at home. I hope the yeshiva doesn't start charging me rent for the time that I'm here. But I come often, and each time I come, I walk away with a sense of just incredible inspiration about your Esek B'Torah, your Hislavus, the Yirah Shamayim that I see. Something Baruch Hashem that really is very touching, very moving, always one of the highlights of my trip to Eretz Yisrael. Let me begin with Yisicha. I was just told that you're learning Bava Kama, and some of you are doing Daf Beis, the Shabbos Sugyas. We'll try to weave that in as well. But you know, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Avos that Asar Nisyonos Nisnase Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was tested time after time after time. Va'amad v'kulam, Avram Avinu soared. The question, of course, perhaps one of the most basic questions in life, is that why was Avram Avinu tested? And why at times does HaKadosh Baruch Hu test each one of us? What exactly is the matara of a nisayon? If I ask a teacher why they test, you know what the teacher will tell me? Well, if I don't test, how do I know the level of each and every one of the Talmidim? How do I know the effectiveness of myself as a Rebbe, as a Malamed, as a teacher? And you know, testing is a good opportunity to be able to see how impactful you are, how the Talmidim are able to absorb, and kind of you can redirect, you can modify when necessary. And obviously that's not the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yodei HaKol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was well aware exactly what Avram Avinu would do, and it was absolutely no surprise of the Amad Bekula. So maybe one could answer that Avram Avinu was tested obviously not for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but for the sake of Avram Avinu. After all, Avram Avinu amassed a crude, incredible schar by being tested and soaring after one challenge after another. And therefore, Avram Avinu is now looking down from Gan Eden, Olam Haba, largely because of his ability to be able to confront, to persevere, to be able to soar whenever he was challenged. But you know, there is a comment that the Rambam has. The Rambam is kind of tucked away, Mar Nevuchim, and Chela Gimel Perach Avdalet, where the Rambam is bothered by that, because Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that Avram Avinu has the capacity too. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Avram Avinu would be able to pass all these tests. And you know, if I see a Talmud that's learning with tremendous yislavos, tremendous hasmada, tremendous cheshek, and as you know, important to me, chazers and chazers and chazers. Okay, you know what? I can't award that Talmud. I have to give him a test in order to prove I know. And therefore, why can't I reward that Talmud without going through all of the motions? So the Rambam is somewhat bothered that the purpose of a test is purely the tova samanusa for the betterment of the one who is being tested. Avram Avinu could have been gifted all of that schar because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that had he been tested, he would have, and that would have been sufficient. So why was Avram Avinu tested? Let me begin with the following. Very end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah describes the bris milah of Avram Avinu, the very end of the Parsha, the Torah tells us, Be'etzem hayom hazeh nimol Avram. That pasuk seems to indicate that, you know, on that day, Avram Avinu received a bris milah. The Torah doesn't describe Avram Avinu performed the bris milah, but nimal Avram, Avram Avinu received a bris milah. Why in the world does the Torah use that which sounds like nifa? So if you look at Medrash, Levi had the following suggestion. Incredible. That bodak atzmo umatza atzmo mahu. All of a sudden, one fine day, Levi noticed that he had a bris milah. And that's why the pasuk says Nemo. He was the recipient of, but he didn't actively do. That was Levi's finish. Nemo, Nifal, bodak atzmo, umatza atzmo mahu. When Levi said this Chiddush, Rav Abba Bar Kahana was there. And he kind of responded. If you look on the side of the Medrash, there's a Pirush of the Radal, of David Luria, that writes, you know, this is not so unusual. Levi and Rav Abba Bar Kahana were pretty close. And often, when Levi would say Chiddushim, Rav Abba Bar Kahana would get up and embrace him. He would kiss him for the beauty of his Chiddushim. Rav Abba Bar Kahana gets up. Levi may very well have thought that, okay, I'm about to get this big hug. And all of a sudden, Rav Abba Bar Kahana starts screaming. Kazvana, shakrana at, hirgisha mistan. You're a liar, you're a deceiver. That is not pshat in the pasuk. And that's surprising. Oh, that's surprising. You know, sometimes you learn b'chavrusa, and you disagree with your chavrusa. No, but hopefully you like disagree agreeably, no? Might be able to point out that, you know, what you're saying, I don't think is. But when was the last time a guy got up the Meis Medrash and like started screaming, Kazvana, shakrana, Higrish when he's dire, you know, somehow this pshat of Levi hit a chord. And Rav Bar Kahana did not think that simply, you know, it was wrong, but it was beyond. It was inconceivable. It was almost like against Ikari Emun. And the question is, okay, I agree, I disagree. What's wrong with that pshat in the pasuk? Why did Rav Bar Kahana respond in that particular way? I'll tell you the following. You know, when you learn the sugyas of Iharig Vayavor, you know that there are certain averos that one is obligated to be Moser Nefesh, to give up your life. Okay. Iharig Vayavor is an absolute chiyuv. You must. What about the opposite? What about most of the cases where it's not Iharig Vayavor, but rather, you know what? Yavor ve'al yiharig. Violate the avera and preserve your life. Yavor ve'al yiharig. Is that a chiyuv or is that a rishus? You must or you may? You must or you may? Oh. So, machlokas the Rambam and Tosus. No, Tosus maintains that Yehereg Vayavor is a chiyu, but Yavor Vayehare is a rishus. If you want to, you can be Moser Nefesh above and beyond the call of duty. And if you do that, Mikra Kadosh, Tosus writes. And the Rambam absolutely disagrees. What do you mean? If the Torah says, V'chai Bohem, that just like Yehereg Vayavor is a chiyuv, Yavor Vayehereg is a chiyuv. You don't have the right to be Moser Nefesh, but you're obligated to violate that Avera in order to preserve your life. The Rambam writes, if you don't, Harei Zeh Mischayev Nafsho. That's suicidal. The Torah says, live, and you say, no, I'm not going to violate that Avera. Comparable to a person who is a Chol Mesukan on Shabbos who decides to avoid medical attention because I'm not going to be Machal Shabbos, the Chuvat Ravaz writes, that's a chassid shot. No? That's not a midas chassidus at all. You know, the Tshuva Sravad quotes with the Riva. Unbelievable, no? You know the Riva, the Bali Atosus, no? The Riva died on Yom Kippur. He died on Yom Kippur. You know why? Because the doctor said you have to eat, and he refused to eat. He refused to eat. The Radvaz writes, that can't be the story. That he refused to eat, that's a Midas Chasidus. What do you mean? He uses the words, that's a Chasid Shota. You know what the situation was? That the Riva knew he was so deathly ill that eating would not have made any difference at all. It wouldn't have saved his life. And therefore, he did not want to eat. But it's clear that had that been the appropriate medical protocol attention, of course he would have done so. But because, what do you mean, above and beyond? The Rambam writes, HaReizim Yischayi Ben Afsha. So you know what? If you look in the Ran and Shabbos, Daf Memtes, Daf Kuflamet, the Ran is bothered by the thought. Really? You can never go above and beyond and give up your life? You know what the Ran writes? It's fascinating. The Ran doesn't quote all the Marmakomos. The Ran just simply writes that, historically, that's wrong. B'nai Yisrael often were moser nefesh, above and beyond the call of duty. And it's inconceivable that the Rambam would say that that was wrong. B'nai Yisrael put their life on their line for, ooh, the Ran writes, for the mitzvah of brismin. For the mitzvah of brismin. Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed. The Gemara writes, you know why people are so careful about Bris Mila, Bizman Hazeh? Because, centuries ago, B'nai Yisrael were Moser Nefesh for the mitzvah of Bris Mila. How can the Rambam say that that's wrong? And therefore, the Ran writes, even the Rambam has to agree that there's certain conditions where you're allowed to put your life on the line, even if technically speaking, it's not considered to be part of Averos HaChamuros. Because Hachush Machish, because this is what B'nai Yisrael did. You know, not only in the distant history, in the recent past, no, Russian Jewry, they would put their life on the line often to fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Mila. And even if they weren't caught in the act, but you know, it's not so hard to discover whether a person does or does not have a Bris Mila. They were willing to put themselves in perpetual risk in order to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Mila. So the Ran writes, even the Rambam must agree. Because a fact that B'nai Yisrael is Moser Nefesh for the mitzvah of Bris Mila. So I'm going to ask you a simple question. And I think there's only one answer. Where did this come from? The fact that B'nai Yisrael, throughout our history, were Moser Nefesh for the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Where in the world did this come from? What was the inspiration? What was the model? What was the impact of? And I'll tell you there's only one answer. You know, often we quote the language of the Medrash that Ma'isav Osim Labanim. You know, that's kind of the mindset when you learn Sefer Bereishis. You know what sometimes can be a little bit unclear about that formulation? Because what exactly does the word simen mean? What does that mean? Right? A sign, an omen, an indicator. You know, we have a lot of simanim. No, you sit down before Rosh Hashanah, you're about to start the meal, and you have your apple, and you have your honey, you're in yeshiva, and you really missed it. You do something that's really beyond, no? The Rebbe, the Rosh Hashanah comes over to you and asks you, like, what in the world, no? And you answer, you know, that apple that I ate for Rosh Hashanah, you know, it was a little spoiled, the honey wasn't, you know, like, Siman HaMil Sehi, you know, like, and of course the Rebbe's going to tell you, you know what, you have to own this, no? This is about you, it's not about the apple. Yeah, but isn't that... Simen, yeah, you know, it's an omen, it's a beautiful minag, but it really is not a cause. It really is not a cause. So let me ask you the following. Is that really what it means that my sabo simen labanim, that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are like apples and honey, where cute, tasty, nice, sweet? So Ramban, as you know, the very beginning of Sefer Shmos tells you, no, that's not what it means. The Ramban writes the following. Ooh, we just finished Sefer Bereishis. And Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzirah. And the Ramban writes, why do you think that Sefer Bereishis is called a book of creation? The Ramban begins with obvious, well, Bria Shamayim Vares, like that's a big deal. And therefore, this is Sefer Yetzirah. But then the Ramban writes, but that is not the whole answer. You know why Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzirah? So the Ramban writes, unbelievable. Well, because Uvimikre ha'avos kulam, shehen ki'inyan yetzir lezan. Because whatever happened to the Avos is a creation. It's a Yetzirah. And that's why Sefer Bereishis is a Sefer Yetzirah. Not just simply because Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but the lives and the actions of the Avos created the capacity to. And that is the meaning of my Sovel Simon Levonim. How many Rabbah Chonins did you learn? No, is this a Simon or is this a Siba? No? My Sovel Simon Levonim is a Siba. It's not just merely Simon Aba'alma, a Simon Milsai. No, this is much more than that. This is the language, the Ramban, Eyetzir. So I'm going to tell you the following. Fact, Klal Yisrael throughout our history was most nefesh for the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Where in the world did that come from? There's only one answer. That answer is Avraham Avinu was commanded to perform Bris Milah. Avraham Avinu was no youngster. That act of Bris Milah was replete with Mesiras Nefesh, passion, enthusiasm, pain, difficulty. But you know what? That was inspiration. That inspired. That inspired Klal Yisrael throughout our history. That was the Yetzirah of the Zaharim. B'nai Yisrael would not have been able to be Moser Nefesh for the mitzvah of Bris Milah unless that was true of the Milah of Avraham Avinu. And all of a sudden now, Levi is Doresh, that you know what? That Badak Atzma Umatz Atzma Mohu. That somehow, incidentally, willy-nilly, Avraham Avinu wakes up and he notices he had a Bris Milah. That's not just wrong in the eyes of Rabbi Arkana. That is absolutely inconceivable. If we, throughout our history, are Moser Nefesh for Maisavos, our Yitzira Lizaram, so therefore, that must have been the case when it comes to Avraham Avinu. Because the Mila of Avraham Avinu informs, inspires, it creates the capacity for Mesiras Nefesh in this mitzvah. And it's not a coincidence at all that the Mila of Avraham Avinu was replete with Mesiras Nefesh, and throughout the history of the Zera Avram were Moser Nefesh for the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Cannot be just simply Badak Atzma Matzah Atzma Mohu. So I'll tell you something unbelievable. That Rambam, Emor Nevuchim, Gimel Chav Dalet, the Rambam writes, that's why Avraham Avinu was tested. That's why Avraham Avinu was tested. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, that Avraham Avinu should receive schar, Avraham Avinu would receive schar. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that had he been tested, you don't need Akedas Yitzchak in order to grant Avraham Avinu the schar that he deserves. But imagine Chumash Bereishis without Akedas Yitzchak. Who would have been at a loss? Who would have been deficient? Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously. Not Avraham Avinu, but you know what? You, me. We would have not have had that Yetzirah of Mesiras Nefesh. Avraham Avinu was in Gan Eden because had he been tested, he would have passed. But we would not have had that model of the Mesiras Nefesh of the Gemarites in Gittin. Know that where did B'nai Yisrael get the koach of Mesiras Nefesh in the time of the Churban HaBayis? A woman who sacrificed 7 sons. You know the Agadat of Kamsa Brakamsa? No? You know what the Gemara says? When the last child of that woman was put to death, she turned to the child. Leich emol Avram. Atah karta mizbeachachad, v'niyah kati shiva mizbechos. No, go tell Avram Avinu. That, you know, you had one akedah. I experienced 7 akedahs. What exactly does that mean? You know, sometimes, you know, we read a Gemara in a very cynical way, you know, like one-upmanship. Go tell Avram Avinu, you know, I did more than you. No, that's not what the Gemara means. That's not why Chazal would have recorded that in the Gemara. You know what it means? Tell Avraham, where did I get the inner strength of Mesiras Nefesh, of Yahad Mayav? That was all the Kochacha HaGadol. That was all because of Akedas Yitzchak. So let Avraham Avinu know that that sacrifice of Akedas Yitzchak, that was unbelievably inspirational. That informed the generations. Our capacity for Mesiras Nefesh is based on the Yetzirah of Avraham Avinu. Because that's what Maisavos are. Not just simply omens and indicators in brachos, but rather it creates the capacity to. And that, the Rambam writes, is why Avraham Avinu was tested. In order to be able to serve as a model for us, not in order to amass, in order to serve as the model of each and every one of those nisyonos. You know, that speaks volumes in terms of any nisayon that we confront. You know what? Look at the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu perseveres. Avraham Avinu overcomes. Avraham Avinu soars. And you know what? That's the yetzirah for the capacity that each one of us has to be able to confront, persevere, to overcome, to soar in dealing with any single nisayon. You know, I'll tell you a chiddush of a point. Rashi writes, in the end of this parsha, that Avraham Avinu was perplexed. You know, Avraham Avinu was told, Ki v'Yitzchak yikar l'chazon. Yitzchak is going to be your zera. You know, that's an incredible statement. Ki v'Yitzchak yikar l'chazon. Because, you know, Tosus writes, Nivam Mustaf Chofbezim things, that sometimes the Torah uses the term zera, sometimes the Torah uses the word ben. What's the difference between zera as opposed to ben? Both refer to a child. Tosus is bothered by, such a lamda shakasha. Why in Yibam does the pasuk say uben eina? And why in Achilas Chuma does the pasuk say vizera eina? What's the difference between ben as opposed to zera? You know, so, you learn the Tosus? But Tosus tells you simply, what is the meaning of zera? What is the meaning of ben? You're not going to know Shat Nechumish unless you know Maseches Yevamos, because Tosus is going to tell you what the word Zera means and what the word Ben means. Now, so Tosus writes two nafkaminas, daraisa. Tosus writes the following. You know what Zera is? Zera is something that endures. Endures. One generation after another. Endurance. Endurance. Just like you plant a seed, you know, it perpetuates. That's what Zera is. Zera does not mean a child. It means a grandchild, a great-grandchild, a great-great-grandchild. Zera is enduring. Ben is a single generation. Stop. There's no endurance to Ben, but there is to Zera. Tosus writes another nafkamina. Ben means even a Ben posel. Ben means a biological child, whether kosher, whether posel. Zera only means Zera kosher. Zera means endurance, but you know you have to emulate the source, the seed. And therefore, Zera on the one hand is limited, Zera kosher, not Zera posel. On the other hand, it's expanded, a ribui, that it means the Dori Doros. Ben is a single generation, and even a Ben posel. So you look back in the Chumash, you know what? That's why Yitzchak is called the Zera Avram. And Yishmael most often is referred to as Yishmael Bino, the Ben Avram, the Ben Avram. Well, who's obligated in Bris Milah as an example? The Pasuk says, Lizara Pacharecha, Sassan Hedrin, Afnum Des, that only we are obligated in Bris Milah. But B'nai Yishmael are obligated in Bris Milah. B'nai Esav are obligated in Bris Milah. Obviously not, no? They are not the Zera Avram. Yishmael was a Ben Avram, a Ben Avram, but not the Zera Avram. We are the Zera Avram. Bris Milah, Eretz Yisrael. Who is Eretz Yisrael given to? Lizarach Hanasati Es Aretz Azos. Eretz Yisrael was given to the Zera Avram. You know what that means? Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And us, who are the Zera Avram. Not to B'nai Yishmael. Not to B'nai Yisrael. Absent, and not the Zera Avram. You know, someone will ask you, like an Arab confronts you and says, how do you know you're the Zera Avram? And we're not the Zera Avram? You know what you're going to tell this Arab? Avram Bam Pirish Mishnah Yisdaf Lamadam. I'm going to set You couldn't imagine a more technical Mishnah. But you know what? Don't skip the technical Mishnahs. No, because they speak volumes. Like, poof. No. You know what the Mishnah says? A person makes a neder. She'eni nehena lezer Avram. I make a neder. I'm not going to benefit from Zer Avram. You can't derive any benefit from a Jew, but you can from an non-Jew. The Rambam writes, look at what this Mishnah is telling you. But take a look. Pirush Mishnahs, Nedarim Daflam Adal. That only we are called the Zer Avram. And Eretz Yisrael is only ours. It doesn't belong to Masola. And the Rambam tells you the following proof. Unbelievable, no? It was worth coming just to hear this Rambam, no? The Rambam writes, what was the Bris Milah b'Sinai? Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem, v'avad avinu sarba miyotam. Your Zera is going to wander from place to place to place to place, and you're going to be persecuted for hundreds of years. The Rambam writes, who experienced that? Who experienced that? Only the Bnei Yaakov and their descendants. Not the Bnei Yishmael. Not Bnei Issa. Who? That is the Raya Mulchachas. You know, I'll tell you something. You know, you read through Chumash. Isn't it surprising in Sefer Bereishis how many psukim describe every settlement, community, city, enclave, village of the Bnei Yishmael and the Bnei Esav? Isn't that like surprising? No? I'm sure when you're Maver Sedrit, you kind of just read through that unbelievably quickly. No? I'll tell you. Now, take a piece of paper and a pen. Write down all the cities and settlements and villages of Bnei Esav and Bnei Yishmael. See if you can think of one. No? Let alone the list and the list and the list of the Torah. Look, why in the world is this so important? You know why it's so important? Because every settlement of Bnei Yishmael, every settlement of Bnei Esav, every city, every conquest is a Rayim Mukhakas that they are not the Zera Avram. That's pretty heavy, no? That's what the Torah tells us. Settlement after settlement, city after city, because that is a clear proof. What do you mean? The Torah says, Ki ger yezar chabasalahem. They're going to wander for hundreds of years. They didn't wander for hundreds of years. They settled one after another, after another, after another. You know what the answer is? They are not the Zera Avram. They are not the Zera Avram. And if Lazarfan Asati Asar Sazos, guess what? Eretz Yisrael is ours. Eretz Yisrael is not theirs. Oh, that's a Rambam. Whoa. Pirush Mishnayis, Nadaram Daf Lamed Aleph. That's the Chiddush that the Rambam writes. Ki ger yezar chabasalahem. That's unusual. You're learning a little bit about Avos Tovos, Shabbos, and Zikim. I'll tell you a finish. I wrote this. You can tell me whether you like it or not. I don't know what I can do about it if you don't like it, but is it ready in print? I'll tell you this. There are different models of Avos and Toldos, no? Shabbos Tuma. Shabbos Tuma represent two very different models of Avos and Tuma. Very different models, no? This you probably learned a little bit, no? You know, Toldos can express themselves in two very different ways. Sometimes you have a Tolda, which is an expansion, no? Good, Av Malach is Zoraya. But you know what? It's not only about Zoraya, no? We're cutting up base. Anything that promotes the growth of the plant, no? Gidul HaKarka, Rabbi Yosef. Familiar with that, no? You see there was a ruin in Sinman, hey? Take a look at that. So, Zoraya doesn't just mean putting a seed in the ground. You know, you have to expand the definition of it. So therefore, I will tell you that Zoraya means the promotion of growth of, and therefore, Menachish, Mashkamayim Nizroin, no Rabbi Yosef, a toldo, let's say of Zoraya. That's a toldo of expansion. Okay. In Tuma, are you really dealing with a toldo of expansion? Expansion? You have an av and a toldo. The toldo is an expansion of the av, really? Right? You have a mace that's Aviyah Bosatuma, and someone touches the mace, like, he's an ifter. He's an expansion of. No. That Av is an expansion of Yavos. The Tolda is an expansion of Av. Why in the world is that a Tolda? Not very simply, because any status that the Tolda has, any residual Tuma, emanates from. So I would tell you, there are two types of Toldas. There's a Tolda of expansion, there's a Tolda of emanation. Good. If it's a Tolda of expansion, you know what? It's very reasonable to me that the Tolda should be like the Av. No? Don't take Zoraya so literally. Oh, let me ask you. Avos and Toldos. Aside from the area of Shabbos. Are there Avos and Toldos b'chol Torah kula? Tell me what you saw.
Sorry.
What'd you see?
The Marikats.
Ooh, she took a bet to stuff bays. No? You all saw that? What do you see that's against that Marikats? Tosus. Where's that Tosus? Becharos Cafe. Yeah, I think that's true. Machlokas Tosa the Marikats. Did you see the Shar HaMelech? Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Yod HaLachotes? Menchus Chinuch Tezvah? Menchus Chinuch and Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph? Well, that's a heavy issue, no? What's the status of Avos and Toldos B'chol HaTorah Kulu? B'chol HaTorah Kulu? Are there Toldos in B'chor? Are there Toldos when it comes to Nachal Eisan? No? What does the Torah say, Nachal Eisan? Lo yavid bo lo zizareya. You can't plant the Nachal Eisan. Are the toldos of Shabbos osur nafalesim? That's a suffix of the Mutzal Me'esh. Shara Melech, Ochus Rotzeach, Perikir Alachates. And that Minchas Nina, who, Tavkov Kovlam, is Medayik in the Rambam, that yes, because the Rambam writes, B'chol Kayot Zebelu. Minchas Nina, Chemitzvah, Tesvah. You're not allowed to carry, to transport the Karmah Pesach from the Makam HaKabura, no? Are the toldos of Hotzah relevant to Hotzah's Karban Pesach in Makam HaKabura? Oh, that's interesting. No? We just discussed Yehareg Vayava. Are there toldos of Yehareg Vayava? Rabbi Yon Ravos and Peregimo? No? Peregimo Mishnirao? Rabbi Yon writes, that's the concept of Avuzrayu. Oh, Yehareg Vayava. Toldos, Fafal Torakulo. The Ritva has in Kedushin Daf Kafav. No? Toldos when it comes to Kinyanim. Kinyanim. Like, this is a heavy issue. Like, a told of expansion, you know, maybe that can apply to Chol HaTorakula, even other models as well. When the Torah says this particular example, but it represents a category, a hagdara, I will tell you the following. If you're dealing with a told of expansion, so I will tell you Todosen Kayotzeva. If you're dealing with a told of emanation, A was produced by B, why would you assume Todosen Kayotzeva? A person touches a mace, or touches the tame mace. So you know what? The residual tumah extent. How do you know that's the same as the? Why do you necessarily assume that the residual tumah is the same as the source of the tumah? I would say when it comes to tumah, Toldosein is lav kayotzebim. That's a model, that's a hagdara. Toldos of expansion, kayotzebim. Toldos of emanation, lav kayotzebim. Good? And the Maskana Sagamar, ooh, Nachas David, that's like really unbelievable, no? So what would you say about Nezikin? I would say Nezikin, this is a told of expansion, no? Expansion. Because, you know what, it's not about, like, death, Karen, Shane, and Regal. It's about Kedarko, Mishuma, Kamnas Lahazi, Kazekamatsi, Kochachamurva, Kazasas Lanezi. That's the Hagdara. So I would say, of course, then Tosen Kayotzebem, maybe with one exception. An exception is Tsaros. Ooh, I like that, no? Because Tsaros is a tolda of emanate koko. That's not an expansion. It means that the regel, which is the av, kicked up a stone. That was mikoach av. That sounds to me like tuma, no? Yeah, and tuma tolda seinav kayotzeben. Maybe that's exactly the maskana said Gemara, that why Tsaros is so unique. And different from other cases of, no? You know, Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, is bothered when the Torah describes Yitzchak. Ein l'toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holy Yitzchak. Rashi's bothered. Why the repetition? Why twice? Why does the Pasuk have to say, Ein l'toldos Avram Yitzchak, Avram holy Yitzchak? Why the repetition? So I'm going to tell you my Kiddush is, you can agree to this. Because Yitzchak was a told of Avram. In both senses of the term. The mission statement of Yitzchak. Yeah, it was an expansion of that which Avraham Avinu did. But he wasn't just a Talmud. He was also fathered by Avraham Avinu. And that was a total emanation as well. So when you're describing like the status of Yitzchak, you know, Yitzchak was a true Toldah, both in the sense of Tumen Tara as well as in the sense of Shabbos, no? An expansion of who emanated from. It's not surprising to me that when the Torah describes who Yitzchak is, right, the Torah uses that double language to describe Eila Todos Yitzchak and Avram, Avram Holitz Yitzchak. Now, in both senses of the word, that's absolutely true. Okay. So I'll tell you step one. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu Kiv Yitzchak Yilkala Chazar. And now you know Tosus Yivamas Chafes. That, you know what? Zerah is enduring. Okay, we're good. All of a sudden, Avram Avinu is told by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Akeda, Kafnas bin Ches Yechid Chasher Haftim. Take Yitzchak's life. Whoa. You know, that flies in the face of Zerah, no? All of a sudden now, step three. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Tishlach. Don't do anything more. Oh, so Rashi writes in the Midrash, you know what? Avram Avinu was like, look, surprise. Step one, Zerah. Step two, Akedah. Step three, Altishlam. Like, how do you process all of this? How do you figure all this out? One, two, three, whoa. That's the measure, such a Rashi quotes, no? At the end of the special Shabbos is Kriyasa. Let me ask you the following question. You know, you ever learn a Chaim? You know, when I give a shiur, it doesn't sound like a Chaim, no? Because, you know, I'm going to start the shiur and say, there's this marmalkum there, this marmalkum there, this marmalkum, there's this kasha, one, two, three, four, five, you know what? Whoa. And all of a sudden, I'm going to give you a teretz, and you know what? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like, everything is answered, you know? And you're going to walk out and say, oh, that was interesting, you know, like, 10 kashas, right? 1 yesod, 10 terutzim, like, whoa, you know? Reb Chaim never does that, no? Reb Chaim never does that. When was the last time you learned Reb Chaim, where Reb Chaim says, you know, the Mar Makoma sheet was so long, you know? You have to know 10 sugyas to see. Reb Chaim never does that, no? No? Did you ever, no? You know what Reb Chaim does? There's a Rambam, and yet there's a Gemara. The Rambam says this, and the Gemara implies that. There's a Rambam, and there's a Rambam. There's a Gemara, and there's a Gemara. Reb Chaim always only starts with, like, you know, two Makoros, no? A Gemara and a Rambam. A Gemara and a Gemara. A Rambam and a Rambam that seemingly contradict. And then what Reb Chaim does, an incredible analysis, to dinim, to adaros, to halachos, that's not a contradiction because A and B are not so directly related at all. So A is not contradicting B because different dinim, different hadaros. Okay, you know? You know why that's so important? Because you don't need 10 stiras, right? If you have one stira, like, that has to be resolved, no? The Rambam and the Gemara don't seem to fit. That's a problem. That's a problem. Remember what I told you last year about kashas and rayas? I'll tell you the same thing this year. Because I think it's like an eternal truth. You know? But what I told you last year was, you know, a Talmud comes to me and says that, you know, I have whatever, you know, two kashas against the Gemara. Three kashas against Tosus, four kashas against the Rambam. So now I lovingly tell the Talmud, no, you don't have two kashas against the Gemara, or three kashas and Tosus, four kashas the Rambam. I have two rayas from the Gemara, and three rayas from Tosus, and four rayas from the Rambam, that you don't know pshat. Because that's a yesod. It's not a kasha on the Gemara. It's a raya that you don't understand the Gemara, or you don't understand the Tosus, or you don't understand the Rambam. And I guarantee you, when you get it, when you understand it, all those kashas are going to be riots. They're going to be riots. No? To the MS of Shah, of course. And I'm going to tell you what's true in learning is true in life. In life, there are no kashas. There are no kashas in life. They're just riots. They're riots. Riots that we don't know Shah. You know, a person says, how exactly can this happen? How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's not a kasha. You know, do we have divine knowledge, divine wisdom? Do we have a panoramic view of how everything fits together? You know what? Anything in life that appears to us to be a kasha, it's not a kasha. You know what it is? It's a raya that we're not informed. We really don't know. And we're presumptuous for us to think that we are known, we are informed. No? How many times in life does something happen you think it's like really terrible? And all of a sudden, like, you look back, you know, a little bit later, and you know, oh, my first assessment that was so terrible turned out to be the biggest bracha in the world. You know, you're pining to go to this Ivy League school, and you really want to, you know, now that's been your dream, your aspiration, no? And all of a sudden, like, you don't get in. Like, you're probably really upset. You're probably really distraught. Now, I've been pining for this for a long time, and it didn't happen, you know? So, Nebuch, you come to Landers. It's okay, you can get in, you know? And all of a sudden, you know what? You start learning. And guess what? You marry a different type of person, and your life is different, and your house is different. You look back, like, ooh. You know, that which I thought was such a setback, that was like an unbelievable birth, no? That's what the Pesach Levi writes, no? Chokin Yisani, Parshas Peshach, no? You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you think it's an inu. Because koma davrach manatava. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. You don't see it right away. Why in the world do you think you should see it right away? No? We're having trouble figuring out like Dav Beis. Why would you think that you're going to see everything right away? You know, maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years, maybe a decade. Maybe, you know what? Maybe you're not going to see it. But Aramuna, Abitavra, Kama to Avrachonatavra. I'm convinced. I don't understand it. It's a raya that I don't know Pshat. But it's not a kash. It's not a kasha regarding Hashkachas Hashem in any shape or form. You know, you live in times of Nisim Gluyim. Now sometimes you see it, Kriyas Yamsuf, like, whoa, you know, you see it. You live in times of Hester Panim. You know, it's hard to see. It's hard to see sometimes. That's what Purim is all about, no? Like Nisim Nistarim, it's hard to see. If you're just going to look at that which is in front of you, you know, you look at a Pasuk in the Megillah. That was an ace. But I'll tell you undeniably. You look at the whole story of Purim, how everything unfolds from beginning to end, ooh, you have to be a fool not to see the Yad Hashem. Sometimes you need like panoramic vision. You know, it's Purim. And the Baal Kori is about to make the bracha on Kriyas HaMegillah. And you tell me whether this is halach or drush. What's the first thing Baal Kori does? He didn't even make the Megillah yet. He didn't make the bracha yet. What exactly does he do? You know what the Shulchan Aruch writes? Poris kigeres laharosanesh. You know what he has to do? He has to open up the whole Megillah before he's going to make a bracha, no? Because the Megillah represents, you know, a sense of Hester Panim, Hastara, the Yad Hashem is eclipsed. You're going to only look at that which is in front of you, you're not going to see it, no? So therefore the Shulchan Aruch demands, you know, before you start reading the Megillah, Persumin Issa, you have to open it all up. Because, you know, you open the Megillah up, you read from beginning to end, you're going to see it. You're going to be a fool if you don't see it, no? That's how you have to recognize every Nisayon in life. Every Nisayon. It's an opportunity too. And maybe you'll have a kasha, but you know, not really a kasha. Just a raya that as of yet, we don't quite understand. But that's okay. That's fully, fully appropriate. It's presumptuous to understand. So, back to that gate. I'll tell you this. You know what?
Avraham Avinu was told, Kivisir Kol Chazar. And all of a sudden, step two, Avraham Avinu is told, Akeda. Whoa, like, isn't that an absolute steer? Zera Akeda. And Avraham Avinu, like, doesn't flinch. All of a sudden, step three, Avraham Avinu was told, Al Tishlam. All of a sudden, Avraham Avinu was bothered. No? Like, well, why in the world? It took step three. You weren't bothered by one and two. Kadosh Baruch Hu says Zera, Utosus Yivamis, enduring, and now you're told to take his life. You're not bothered. All of a sudden, step three, Al Tishlach. Now you are bothered. You know whose kasha this is? I'll tell you, Kedarka Bakodesh. You know whose kasha this is? Reb Chaim's. That's Reb Chaim's kasha. You need three kashas. You need one, two, three. Kadosh Baruch Hu says Zera. Kadosh Baruch Hu says Akeda. In my mind, that's a steer. You want to make it fancier? Al Tishlach. There's a further steer. Forget about the further steer. No? Avraham Avinu didn't say anything at all. No? I'll tell you, Ad Kedei Kach, there's a Joshua Saran, Joshua Vav, that writes that Kedei Yitzchak was not a tzivu. How could it be a tzivu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kivitz Yekor Chazara. It was a bakasha. Kach na. It was a bakasha. Can't be a tzivu. It flies in the face of Zera. But assuming not like that wrong, isn't that an absolute steer? Isn't that an absolute steer? So why in the world did Avraham Avinu take a step back and say, whoa, what, how do I process this? How do I internalize it? What exactly is the message, the lesson, the takeaway? So I'll tell you the final answer. You ready? You know, you have a kasha tonight. I don't get the mitzvah, tefillah, kriya shema, tefillin. You know, comes tomorrow morning. What are you going to tell that guy? No? Okay, so don't daven. So don't say Kriya Shema. So don't put on tefillin. You know what I'm going to tell him? Well, good. You know what? You have a question? Okay, you have a question. But you know what? Bracha stuff you. Ma demif kadasi boilach lamenta. Just do what you have to do. Do what you have to do. Kadosh Baruch Hu says walk. You know what you do? You march. Kadosh Baruch Hu says jump. You know what you say? How high? No? You do what you have to do. You have a kasha? Okay, realize, you know, this is not a kash, it's just a raya that you don't quite get it. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said to do, you know what? You do. And that's Rabbi Chaim's teretz. Isn't that pretty cool, no? That you know what? Avraham Avinu was told Zerah. Okay, Avraham Avinu was told Akedah. That's an unbelievable stira. But you know what? Avraham Avinu doesn't flinch because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Kachnas bin ches yechir chesher hafta. You're bothered by a kash, you're bothered by a stira. Just do. Just walk the walk. Do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do. You're worried how is it all going to resolve itself and fits in? I guarantee you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kuloto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yodei hakol. So Avraham Avinu doesn't respond at all. He just does. All of a sudden now, step three. Al Tishlach. What does Al Tishlach mean? You're done. You did everything you're supposed to do. You need not do anything more. Oh, you know what? Oh, now the timing is exquisite. To ask the kasha, like, how do I process this? 1, 2, and 3? This question wasn't appropriate a moment ago, because a moment ago, Kodesh Baruch Hu told me, just do this. So I'm going to do it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, nothing more to do, Al Tishlach, you've done that which the Torah demands, you know what? Now you take a step back and say, so what's the takeaway? What do I learn from this? How do I process this? That was Avraham Avinu. That was Avraham Avinu. And I'll tell you something about the godless of Avraham Avinu. This is a comment that Rav Shach has. In Aviezri, in Hilchos Yisod Yotam. The Rambam writes that one of our Ikari Emunah is the uniqueness of Nevuas Moshe. Only Moshe Rabbeinu received the Nevuah with such clarity. Peh el peh adarabo kadabra yishuvayim. As if you and I are speaking to each other. That was Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone else the Rambam writes, including Vavos, it wasn't a direct communication. It was aspaklaria, she'en omira. It was somewhat opaque. It was clouded. It wasn't absolutely clear. It was like a vision. It was like a dream. You know, that's kind of amazing. You know? Well, someone asked me last Shabbos, you know, why was that so great? But Kodesh Baruch Hu would turn to me and say, do this. I'm going to say no. You're really going to say no? So Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to Avraham Avinu and says, do this. You're going to say no? Well, of course. You know, Rav Shach writes, the answer is, realize the vision of Avraham Avinu was an ambiguous vision. It wasn't so crystal, crystal, crystal clear. You know, when you see something that's not so crystal clear, and it seems like you're being asked to do something that really is not typical at all, you know what I would do? I would be very creative. I'd start to like reinterpret, you know? It doesn't really mean sacrifice, Yitzchak. You know? Maybe you'll tell me, oh, there's Ram Banam Ving Vayikra, when you bring a carbon, it's as though you yourself are offered al gabi amizbeah. You know, it really means an akedah. Rav Shach writes, that was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. This wasn't an absolute clear vision. This was a dream. And yet, Avraham Avinu sensed this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Even though it was with great pain and great personal sacrifice. Ma demifkadasi ba'alach tamen. That's incredible. You know, that was Avraham Avinu. That's the Yetzir of the Zaram. That's the legacy that we have Ladoros. You know, I'll tell you one last point. You know, when the Gemara describes the unbelievable Havanasa Sarachim of Avraham Avinu, Bav Metzida Peva, the Gemara says, you know, Klal Yisrael Ladoros had such zechuyos based on what Avraham Avinu did, no? Avraham Avinu fed his guests. Oh, we were zocha to have them on. Avraham Avinu stood with them. We were zocha to have the Nani Akavo. Yukachna me'at mayim. We were zocha to have the Be'er, no? Familiar? Right? Everything Avraham Avinu did was mezaka klal Yisrael ladoros. I'm going to ask you an unusual question. Did you see the Ramban? The Ramban quotes the Rambam Mor Nevuchim. It sounds like stunning. Theme for another sikha, where the Rambam writes, this was all a dream. This was all a dream. It's a heavy issue, no? The Rambam writes, this really didn't happen. This was just a dream that Avraham Avinu had. The Malachim came to him and gave him that report. I'll ask you a simple question. Okay, it's a dream. That's the Rambam sheet. This was a dream. So Avraham Avinu dreamt about, and what? In that schus, we have the man, and we have the Nani Yaakovot, and we have the bear. This is what Avraham Avinu did. Whoa, that's Mizakis HaRabim, no? But this didn't happen. It's like surprising. The Gemara would say that, in that schus, what? The Rambam writes, it didn't occur. No? Interesting. You know what I think the answer would be? What did you dream about last night? I think that's the answer. Did you dream about Hachnasas Arachim? Did you dream about public Amidah Beis? Did you dream about, was that your dream? So maybe I'm in safe ground by saying, probably not. No. That was the dream of Avraham Avinu. His dream was opportunities of Avodah Hashem. His dream was not to be able to perform such Hachnasas Arachim. That's pretty heavy. No? When your dream is about Shifos in Avodah Hashem, and it doesn't surprise me one iota that in the source of that dream we were zochet to the Be'er and the Mam and the Nari Yaakov. That's really important. You learn out the story. You chazer the sugya, not just once, twice, three times, and four times. You think you're going to know a sugya if you chazer it four times? Right? You're not. You have to constantly push yourself to chazer as much as possible. And I guarantee you, you're falling asleep chazering in the Gemara. You're going to dream about. That's a stunning madriga. But you have to position yourself. It means, the Gemara needed a vayin, that you really give it your all. And you learn. And you might be schor, you get rid of all the stuff, and you really focus. And as and the one more requirement, Yevakesh Rachamim Mishachach Meshul, Yedavin Tvakadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Dishmaya. If you're not going to daven for Siyata Dishmaya and learning, you're not going to know your learning. That's not my Kiddush, that's the Gemara Mefureshes, needed of Ayinu Adayis. Right? If you can't look up all the Marmakamos that I mentioned, just look up needed of Ayinu Adayis. No. That's really important. Now, ma yasa adam v'yatkam. What do you have to do in order to soar? Well, you really have to learn. You have to be mishtada, and you have to be mispala. You have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every Shmoneh Esrei for siyata d'shma. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You just daven, you're not going to know Babakam. Guess what? I'll tell you a secret. You just learn, you're not going to know Babakam. You learn and learn and learn and learn, you're not going to know Bava Kama. You have to learn and you have to daven. Without tefillah, without beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmaya and learning, you're not going to succeed. A Gemara Mefureshet. You can look up that Gemara. Now, where is it? Nida? Nida Beis? How many lines down?
20.
How many?
20.
Close. That's another diagnosis. 22. how many words in?
Three.
Yeah, that's right. How'd you get that?
I'm
bad at my second job. Okay. Right? Take a look. No. Take a look. That's clear. No. You really. That's it. And I'll say it's not only true learning. It's true learning. You want to succeed. Just do whatever I'm going to do. Your dreams are transformed. A different type of siyata d'shmaya. And that's why Avraham Avinu says. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have. And not that a basis of attainment of great style. But you know what? That this informs who we are. Because we are
the Zera Avram.
And we have the capacity too, because Avram Avinu did. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram Avinu. That's why sometimes in life we're tested, not as kashrus, but just as opportunities to be able to demonstrate our amelus, our hislavus, our commitment, our avodas Hashem, our perseverance, because we realize that being Zera Avram is an incredible responsibility, but an enormous, enormous privilege to be able to be called upon to fulfill that mandate of the Gemara Brachas and the Afiyot, that Ma'adim Iskadasi Ba'alach Lameva. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, walk, you just march. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, jump, the question is, how high? And you daven for Siyata Dishmah. And Ezra Hashem, that Gemara, that, yeah, you'll be Matzliach. You'll be Matzliach in your learning. You'll be Matzliach in every facet of life. And challenges aren't going to faze you. You're going to see them as opportunities of incredible growth and opportunities to be your own source of inspiration to those around you. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you that siyata v'shem, to be able to be worthy of being the future.